Okay, it's a little loud here. We'll call the meeting to order. At this time, we will stand for a moment of silence and then pledge the flag behind me. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, you can follow along on the boards. We have the agenda for this evening, and we have a special presentation.
We do. Thank you, Mr. President. It is my pleasure to introduce Chris Epler, and I'll explain why Chris is here in a moment. Chris is the one, well, he's one of the ones standing in the back, and I have some folks here. It's like the family's just rolling. The three individuals up front, if you guys could, Jamie, if you could just introduce your husband, perhaps, and your guest there. Just say hi, who they are, and how they're connected, and then we'll explain what the Be Impactful Award is.
So I'm Jamie Davis. This is my husband, Jared Davis, and a good friend, Jessica Wilson.
Jamie Davis is a member of our foundation, as is Dennis Wilson, whose wife is here this evening. She's representing him because he's out of town. But as a spinoff from the foundation, Jamie began talking about a way that she wanted to honor one of our outstanding educators. In the course of the conversation, it became apparent that it was difficult under the current sort of way teachers are compensated, et cetera, to really recognize someone outside of the way that we have, the limitations that we have in schools. So the more Jamie talked and a small group of people from the foundation sort of broke off and completely unconnected to the foundation had this conversation, Jamie offered her own personal resources to recognize in memorandum, in memorial, one of her former mentors and teachers, Mr. B. So, conveniently, the award is the Be Impactful Award, which has a nice symmetry to it. Jamie is the sole sponsor for that award. We had almost 50 nominations from across the entire faculty here in the spring, and after all those nominations were reviewed, Mr. Chris Epler was the first one to be chosen to receive the Be Impactful Award. It's a $2,500 cash prize to Chris. I have to tell you, as a superintendent, I was thrilled at the choice. The committee absolutely made a great choice. If you recall, Chris was reluctantly given up by the middle school this past year and had 1 year now at the high school with some new challenges at the high school and is doing a phenomenal job. So with all of that, I would just like to publicly acknowledge Chris for his superior effort. On behalf of the students at Eastern Lancaster County School District, Chris Epler, we recognize that the Board of the School Directors meeting on June 13, 2016, that's co-signed by myself and the Board President. I am thrilled, Chris, for you to come up here and take this award in public, and I would like to offer my congratulations to Chris. So just so you know, we sort of surprised Chris here with a committee of people. It was about 2 weeks ago, Chris, when the award was announced. We crashed in on this classroom. Some poor gal was just about to present her PowerPoint, big speech. We iced her because it took 10 minutes. She was ready to go. I felt bad for her. I don't know how she did. But we were there and sort of stormed in there, and the poor student had to sit back just like we iced the kickers in football. So I hope she did okay. But it was really exciting, and I can tell the kids are thrilled too because they know what we got here. So my final word would be a thanks to Mrs. Davis, who is a parent in the school district. I think this is awesome. Too many times we forget how impactful some of those mentors can be and how life-changing they can be, and certainly Chris is one of those people. So thank you, Chris, and thank you, Jamie. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. And I'm sure the student had got a good report in. He was probably, you know, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. To share that moment with that class.
I should have asked. Chris, any words from you?
Thank you. I was totally surprised. And when we came in with the balloons and the lights were out, and young lady Rachel was presenting, and everyone was like, all eyes. And, you know, I was in short, and he started speaking and introduced, and that was so cool. And a lot of hands went up, and they were like, we've heard of you. Yes. And that was so nice. And the acknowledgement, I appreciate it so much. And it's been nice.
I forgot to mention, we do have one board member joining us by audio this evening, Dina Mayo. So if anybody else, if we can speak into the microphone, that way she can also hear, and hopefully we can hear her if she has any comments as well. So.
Okay,
sorry about that. I should have said that before.
No problem.
So we have time set aside for citizens' comments. Were there any residents of the school district that wish to address the board this evening? Okay. Any others? You can come to the microphone, state your name, where you reside, and then you have the floor.
Okay. My name is John Menser. I do reside in New Holland, and I would like to have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just reminded of your renewal mercies every day and how your mercy is just overflowing and abundant. Lord, I just ask that you'll be with the school board as they have a very daunting task of dealing with the societal chaos in our outskirts of our society. Lord, there's so many different avenues that they could come in contact with. Lord, I just pray that you give them special wisdom. Pray that as situations come, that they'll be able to look over the things and take a step back and look at things from a perspective that they can get a good grasp of what's going on. Lord, I just pray that you'll give them exceptional wisdom. Lord, I ask you to ask protection over the school board as they make those decisions. Lord, I just ask that you'll be with us tonight as they go over certain things, and that your name will be honored and glorified. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. All right, we have a personnel report. Hopefully everyone has a chance to review that this evening. And at this time, then, we would need a motion to approve that. Yes. Is there an addition to it?
Just a comment. I think we do want to introduce one teacher who is present.
Could you come to the microphone so you can hear us? Sorry.
So I would like to introduce John Burkholder. He is joining us in our emotional support program at Recknock. Comes to us from Lancaster School District, has several years of experience teaching there, and then teaching also in special education previous to that. So we're excited to have him join us. He was one of our top candidates in past years and is able to join us this year. So we're really looking forward to him joining the crew.
Hey, welcome aboard. And did you have any comments?
It's an honor to be here, and I look forward to serving the school this year.
Okay. Thank you, and welcome aboard. Any other additions to the personnel report?
That's it.
Okay. Then do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The personnel report is approved for this evening. On the committees, Property and Services Committee, Mr. Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have several action items for next Monday night. The majority of them have to do with the budget. The first action item is the approval of the final budget for the general fund. Resolution. The final budget, as we reported at the proposed final budget in May, calls for a 2.4% tax increase, which is the base index for the state and for the school district. We will also use $563,263 from our fund balance proposed. As always, we try not to use it if unless necessary. We do try to make cuts and changes throughout the year so that we can minimize any use of fund balance as possible. But our real estate tax rate for 16-17 would increase to 15.0404 mils, which keeps us second most in the county, so I'm pleased to report that. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the second action item that I have is the approval of the resolution repealing the per capita tax. As you know, we do levy a $10 per capita tax on the residents 18 years or older in the school district. Typically called the head tax, if you will. This resolution and with the budget would, in essence, repeal that tax. Therefore, the residents in the school district would no longer be obligated to pay that $10 per capita tax.
With the tax increase, I forget what you said, it was something like the average on the average household, the 2.4, what did it equate to?
Yeah, hang on a second here, I can pull that up. I have that ready. I think it came down to that about $30 per year, but let me confirm that.
So if you have three people in the house that are paying $10
each. And I was actually doing it with a married couple.
Yeah, the American will put right
exactly
at 20. So.
When we looked at the average residential property was $144,345. With a 2.4% tax increase, that was a $51 increase. If I subtract the 20, assuming there's a married couple, about $31. So if there's, you know, one person in the household, then it'd be 41. If there's three, it'd be 21. So this person.
I appreciate you. I know we've talked about that before, and I just kind of a nuisance tax, and I'm glad to see it gone.
And also, as I reported before, there was three others that were looking to get rid of it. Two others, Donegal and CD, looks like they're getting rid of it as well. So that's pretty good. Any other questions or comments? The next action item would be the annual tax levy resolution. This would set the tax rates. It would set the real estate tax rate at 15.0404 mils. The resolution also eliminates the $10 per capita tax. Any questions or concerns on that? And then the last item that relates to the budget for 16-17 is the homestead farmstead exclusion resolution. This is the resolution that gives property tax relief, if you will, based on the gaming money, as well as the Philadelphia tax credit. So for our school district, taxpayers would see a $65.30 reduction in their taxes. That's up from previous year of $65.10. So it's an increase of 27 cents. Pretty much the revenue that we receive is flat. They've taken some adjustments of the reduced total. And that is the same rate both for homestead and farmstead.
It's amazing. It seems like we've been right at that ever since they started, right? About 60, 65 now.
Absolutely.
You keep expanding, adding more. So eventually, I don't know. A decrease in it.
Absolutely.
Certainly hasn't been the boom that they expected it.
Okay, the next action item, we typically have this done each year. It's to authorize myself to make the necessary budgetary transfers for 15-16 school year after June 30th. As you know, even though our budget year ends on June 30th, we still have expenses that come in after the end of the year, which may require us to shift money in between accounts prior to our local audit. We still are in the obligation not to exceed our quote total expenditures in total, which we typically don't do. I will bring to the board, typically in the October time frame, to give you a report on what transfers were made. So it's pretty much take an account where it may go in the negative and just transfer money from another account that was in the positive to cover the negative. So we have a clean budget when it comes to the audit. The last action item is a resolution that we're required to adopt prior to June 30th. We don't have to commit the funds at this point. That typically comes during the audit. But we are required prior to the end of the year to approve a resolution that we need to basically outline what type of commitments that we may have at the end of each fiscal year. Typically, we have two commitments of fund balance. One is for PESRs, the Rate Stabilization Fund, and the second one is for technology initiatives. But we do typically put in the resolution a third, just in case it would be future textbook or curriculum software, textbooks and or software purchases for curriculum. We have not designated any, committed anything into that area, but we typically keep it as an option. And then my last action item is the approval of the agreement with Columbia Borough School District for executive services. As you recall, in May there was an approval to appoint Mr. Yoder and Mr. Jones to serve on that committee. We did meet with two members from Columbia on June 7th to review a proposed draft agreement. Based on that outcome and the revisions that we've made, you do have a copy under your agenda of the red line version of what was discussed and tentatively agreed to. But now it's time to bring it back to the board and see if there's any additional questions or concerns based on what you saw, and also then to move it forward to action on Monday the 20th. Just to let you know, Columbia Borough will be presenting it tomorrow at their committee meetings, and then possibly or have a action to approve it on Thursday, the 16th. So at this point, I'll turn it over to the board. Any questions, concerns, or comments?
I have a question.
Sure.
Go ahead. I was looking through it earlier, and I saw that it's going to be an agreement of $165,000 for them to us.
Correct.
And then, based on the other paperwork that I was given at the PDE meeting, it's looking like it's $140,000 in expenses. So that means we're going to be netting $25,000 from this adventure?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, correct. At this point, I mean, that's our, you know, our estimate at this point. Keep in mind that the superintendent isn't taking any salary for the endeavor, so that piece of money is coming back to offset his costs for the time that he spends there as well.
And the other thing, it would be the position that we hire to be the on-site person. Until we hire them, it's going to depend on their, you know, what their salary requirements, what their level of expertise is. So we don't have a set figure, so these are estimated at this point, but, you know.
Correct. Correct. And we try to be conservative so that if anything, our hopes is that, you know, our costs could be lower than what was anticipated. But at this point, until we hire that individual, until we see how much time Dr. Hollister will be on site there, you know, we'll have more details or we can, you know, fine tune it. But our estimate is hopefully that that's high.
So then, all right, then the other thing is it says in the payment section that Columbia Borough agrees to pay all reasonable travel, communications, blah, blah, blah. Is that in addition to that 165 or is that included in that?
That's in addition to.
Okay, so on the other sheet of paper here, you had miscellaneous office supplies, mileage, et cetera, $30,000. That technically not included in that 165?
That's correct, but keep in mind the paper that you're looking at when we met with the legislators for the additional funding, we anticipate that the $30,000 that's reflective there for just the services of the superintendent isn't going to achieve or meet that amount of money. That was when we were looking at potentially down the road with support from the state and some other things. Where we would share, potentially do the teacher loan program. So that $30,000 that you're referencing is not specific to Dr. Hollister. But to answer your question, any of those expenses above and beyond for travel, you know, one half of the cell phone, those types of things, those would all be in addition to the 165 and billed separately.
Okay. Do we have any thoughts on what's going to happen with this extra income that we're going to have?
You mean as far as earmarking it, or?
Well, ultimately, it's up to the board if you want to earmark it. I mean, ultimately, it would be the general fund. If it's not earmarked for something, it would fall to the bottom line and into our fund balance. And as we evaluate, you know, as we spoke before, it's a 1-year agreement. As we begin to develop our 17-18 budget, we see where that number comes in at. You know, we can always use that to help offset any type of increase or fund balance usage in the future. But the initial year, unless something comes up that we allocated for, typically will fall to the fund balance.
Okay. Is there something in here that talks about like quantifying, like is this a successful or not? Like how do we know if this is going well?
Yeah, there's actually, when you look at the agreement under the interim superintendent of record, which would be Dr. Hollister, there is language in there that was inserted where we call project benchmarks for achievement. Which would then also, Dr. Hollister would also provide quarterly updates more if necessary on how we are achieving those project benchmarks for success. And also there's a mechanism in there as well, which has the Columbia Borough School District president talking with our president, our board as well to take a look at those benchmarks. But yes, that is, when you looked at the red line version, that was inserted, and I think that was bullet number 5, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, bullet number 4 under the interim superintendent record.
Okay. I thought I had read something in here. I just couldn't find it.
You got it.
Yeah, I think originally we had every 6 months, and I think Columbia actually asked for it to be quarterly.
Yes, right. Correct.
Or, yeah, with the correct. Year, or, go ahead, yeah.
I think, yeah. No, I think it was Mr. Jones.
Yeah,
Mr.
Ronnie, Jones. That's right.
Yes, for that.
And I would say that, you know, we should put this next week on a separate action item.
Sure.
Separate from this.
Sure.
Did you have, Brian?
That was my request next time.
Okay.
Yeah,
we will do that as a separate, so we can discuss it.
And we can also then report on
you know, what the outcome of with Columbia's vote was as well. You have to turn it on in the back there.
One other question was, I apologize if I've missed it somewhere, but the document that Dean is referring to, was that made available to us in some fashion? I don't know that I received that.
It is on the agenda here.
Oh, okay.
It's on the agenda.
No, I can, what I can do is, I think we kind of spoke to it, but I can send everybody the document. Really, when we met with the legislators, it was really looking at a 3-year funding, hopefully we're going to get from them.
Not the agreement.
Oh, not the agreement.
Yes. I can send that to you. I'll send that to you.
Thank you.
You bet. Sorry about that.
Any other questions? Well, hopefully, yeah, we get a chance to everybody look over it very well, and we can discuss it then next time.
And if there's any specific questions, feel free.
Right, you know, yeah, right. Anything else? That was the last item on your...
Yep. That ends my report.
Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Were there any other questions overall for the Property and Services Committee? All right, very well. Program, Dr. Lark.
Yes, good evening. We're going to have several action items. If you could click on B first. What I'm going to do is change the order a little bit because Dr. Winters is here, so I'm going to have the pieces that he's going to speak to together. So the first action item that I'm going to speak on is approval for me to sign a contract with Karen Foundation for Staff Services for the 16-17 school year. As you know, the district is required to provide student assistance program services for our students, actually K-12. ELANCO uses the Karen Foundation as a provider for SAP services. We've done that now at least 3 years, if not longer, and we're very, very happy with their services. We have a SAP assessor come 4 days a week. The cost to the district for the 16-17 school year is $30,958, and that's an increase of $902 over last year. Any questions? Then also, if you'll click on C, the next item is approval of expulsion waivers. We have two expulsion waivers that need to be approved by you. I have them here for your review if you would like to look at them. Any questions? And then I will turn it over to Dr. Winters, who will talk about the contract with Accelerate Ed, and then also talk about a book that are looking for approval for 8th grade English.
Thank you, and as always, I always appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you guys about the curriculum and items impacting curriculum. The first item with regard to Accelerate Education, and there is a PDF document that is attached to the agenda that I'll be referencing. We're looking to switch our elementary ELANCO online content provider heading into next year. In previous years, we've used Connections Learning, and with that particular model, we were paying for online content and an online teacher at a cost of roughly $4,400 per student, which, in my opinion, was getting to be pretty cost prohibitive. And so started investigating Accelerate Education, which is another content provider for elementary. They'll allow us to use their content, but our teachers, which is the model that we're using in the middle school and the high school, which is much more cost effective. And so we'll be able to offer K-6, language arts, science, social studies, math, and health and PE, and be able to use our own teachers to facilitate those classes. And then in addition, the other thing that is nice that Accelerate Ed offers is it'll give us the opportunity to offer world languages for elementary students and also middle school students as well. We can offer Spanish, Chinese, and French at the elementary level, and we can offer Spanish, Chinese, German, French, and Latin at the middle school level. We can do it using their teachers at a pretty reasonable cost. It comes out to just under $500 per course per student at the elementary and almost $600 at the middle level, which is very, very reasonable. And Accelerate has partnered with Middlebury Interactive World Languages, which really as a company kind of has the corner on the market for online world languages. It's out of Middlebury College in New England, and they're very, very strong products. So the proposal that is attached to the agenda outlines all of the costs there. There's also a online teacher training where they'll come for one day. It's $2,375, including travel expenses. It just always blows my mind how much trainers charge to come and do PD for districts. And I got them to reduce the cost a little bit, not as much as I would have liked, but we were able to get it down just a little bit. But the urgency, if you will, to get it approved next week is so that we can get that training scheduled and we can get teachers in over the summer so we're ready to go to start the year. The second item is in regard to a book that we would like to use for 8th grade language arts. The book is I Am Malala, and I'll pass it around after I talk about it. And basically, I'd like to read for you an excerpt that I came across as a review on Amazon.com, which I think encapsulates the book really, really well. When the Taliban took control of the Swat Valley in Pakistan, one girl spoke out. Malala Yousafzai refused to be silenced and fought for her right to an education. On Tuesday, October 9th, 2012, when she was 15, she almost paid the ultimate price. She was shot in the head at point-blank range while riding the bus home from school, and few expected her to survive. Instead, Malala's miraculous recovery has taken her on an extraordinary journey from a remote valley in northern Pakistan to the halls of the United Nations at New York. At 16, she became a global symbol of peaceful protest and the youngest nominee ever for the Nobel Peace Prize. I Am Malala is the remarkable tale of a family uprooted by global terrorism, of the fight for girls' education, of a father who, himself a school owner, championed and encouraged his daughter to write and attend school, and of brave parents who have a fierce love for their daughter in a society that prizes sons. I Am Malala will make you believe in the power of one person's voice to inspire change in the world. We talk a great deal in Elanco about having students that are global ready, and I think literature, be it fiction or nonfiction, gives kids an opportunity to get a view of the world in places they might not otherwise get to travel. This is a great example of this. We'd like to use the book in 8th grade language arts, primarily with our advanced accelerated sections as an independent novel project, but with the understanding that since we want all students to have access to high-level text, to be able to use it in excerpts and chunks with some of the other levels in 8th grade language arts. But with the advanced class independent novel project, students will read it outside of class, and then they will do a project that has a speaking and listening component, a writing component, a class discussion component, and also a technology piece by developing their own wiki. It also aligns to the three of the PA core standards, reading informational text, informational and explanatory writing, and speaking and listening. The cost of the book, as I've done a little bit of research, is $11.63. That's on Amazon. They're usually the least expensive place to order. I'll work with the administrative assistant at the middle school to make sure we find the cheapest cost possible. But at the $11.63, it would put 100 copies, which is what we'd be looking to order, at just over $1,100. One of the things that I always grapple with when you're looking at novels is, do you get the e-version, do you get the print version, how do you make a decision there? I think in this instance, it's an independent novel project, and I think just the power of having the text in hand and being able to read it that way, I think there's a lot of power and benefit to that. So those are my two items for this evening. Are there any questions that any of you have?
I have a couple of them. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely.
Anybody else want to do anything? Yes, sir. On the languages for the cyber school, the elementary, so that's students who are full-time enrolled in the cyber program.
With the elementary language piece, students could do it as part of the virtual academy, yes, but we actually have a young man who's going to be a first grader at Brecknock next year that wants to do Spanish. In addition to being a student at Brecknock, so he'll go to school, normal traditional schedule, and do his language in addition on his own time.
That was exactly where I was going with that. I think that's pretty cool.
I should have clarified that.
To offer that, is there a cost for that then?
The way things are currently set up, students have access to that at not an additional cost.
Okay, that's something I think we could
promote and also to promote to the outside. I don't know if the other cyber schools offer that as well. It could be a point of differentiation between us and some of our competition.
I agree completely.
So that's exciting. Anybody else have any questions?
How many students do we have here, like in the elementary portion of our?
This year we only had three. Elementary continues to be our smallest percentage for Elanco Online, but I believe there's a really good reason for that, and it's because of the job that our elementary principals do. And it, you know, continue, you know, kids at the elementary level, they still love going to school. There's that excitement, that enthusiasm about being in school every day. And so, you know, we don't have, you know, as many of the situations of the student that wants to do online because of illness, or the student needs to do online because of, you know, family circumstances, life circumstances, that sometimes arise and increase when you get into the middle and high school level. So they are low, but I don't think it's because of anything programmatically we're not doing. I think it's on the contrary. I think it's because of, you know, how strong things are at all three elementary buildings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want to drive kids out of our school into that, but is there a lower percentage of elementary students that are doing cyber schools outside of our Elanco Online compared to like middle school and high school? Is that percentage lower too? You know?
I can get exact numbers for you, but going off of memory, I believe it's lower than high school, but I don't think it's as low as middle school.
Okay.
But I will say that in terms of our overall cyber numbers, when Education Plus Cyber Academy had to close shop on Main Street, our cyber numbers were about cut in half. So we enter this year, I think, with our numbers right around 50 to 55, which in terms of, you know, when you consider in past years we were well over 100, that's huge. And so
you mean that are outside?
That are outside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that is,
yeah,
that is.
So those numbers have gone down dramatically.
That's, yeah.
So
it's a lot of money.
We've definitely stopped the bleeding. We put the tourniquet on, and, you know, kids that want to do online that are ours, they're staying here.
Yeah,
because we have a program that we're proud of, and
that's great.
What we can do is provide a full report like October once
yeah,
everything's settled in.
Right.
I'll
sure.
Do an update on numbers.
Sure.
Not just the numbers, but a breakdown of where they're going to.
Yeah. Sure.
Going to.
Be happy to do that.
So that's plan on doing that.
But yeah, I mean, okay. I think that language piece, that's really, that can really be a good, good plus and offer to kids who just want to do that. Aside, that's great.
That's a good point.
Any other questions for me? Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That
ends
the program.
All right, thank you. Any other questions overall for the program committee? And we will move into management.
Thank you, Mr. President. Management has a number of action items all related to policies. These policies were presented to you in draft form last month. A little bit different route to get to these policies. These are all business protocols that have been recommended through state organizations, and in this particular case, Howard Kellen was an advisor to an IU group led by the IU, a chief real heart, who was the business manager for the IU, and a team of business managers collectively wrote these policies. So what you're seeing is the efforts of a number of different folks. Honestly, I had nothing to do with the writing of these policies for a change. They really are all the business folks who wrote them. And it's all protocols that we have to follow. It's pretty black and white. But if you do have any questions or recommendations, we'll be glad to take them. But again, our attorney advised the writing group at the IU. A number of school districts are adopting these policies lockstep, much the way we are as well. Assuming no questions, I will move on. Just a couple of little things. The ShotSpotter system that we've been talking about, I'm going to recommend that we pull that for as an action item until we continue investigating. In fact, if the board is interested, I can have a representative of the organization online at a board meeting to answer questions. And you guys are answering me, and I'm going to ask them, and then coming back playing monkey in the middle. I'm happy to get that set up and have someone online at a 7 o'clock meeting, and we can ask them directly about it. But it sounds like that the board, I'm reading sort of what the message is, it's sort of hold off for now, but I think we should get some of those questions answered since they're still hot. So I pulled that as an action item, only to extend the discussion if that's okay with the board.
I think so. Anybody else okay with that?
All right, so we'll continue to monitor and get some more information, and if convenient, I'll have a representative online for us here in July at a July meeting. The next thing I have is information in your blue folder. There's a copy of an invitation for board members to attend the delegate assembly that will take place at the annual state conference on October 15th. It's a Saturday. We have traditionally not sent delegates from this school board. If anyone is interested, please contact me and we'll get you set up. We do have a limitation on the number of folks who can go from this particular board based on the size of our school district. But as I said, that delegate seating, we have not been real active in participating in that, and they have been doing a good job without us, nevertheless. So let me know if you're interested in attending that, that delegate seating on October 15th. The only other thing I have as a part of my report that's not on the agenda is I do want to discuss, and it's very timely and sadly so, that we did have a major, I will call it a major, rehearsal for an active shooter incident here last Wednesday. Brian, I'm going to lean on you for in a second. Brian, Mr. Naranjo represented the board that night, was able to be here for the entire thing. We had first responders here from the fire companies, the EMS, and from several police departments, including Ephrata, West Lampeter, East Lampeter, East Earl, and of course New Holland. The protocols for active shooters are constantly changing, and we are constantly keeping updated on that. 2 years ago, if you would have asked how an intruder drill would have gone, the EMS personnel, fire personnel, would not have been permitted in the building until there was a verified threat neutralized. The protocol has really changed by 180 degrees, and that's what they were trained for. Now, what is happening is as police personnel are moving through buildings, the EMS and fire personnel are directly behind them in tow. What was discovered, the FBI reviews all shootings. What was discovered is that while, and it's sort of a, oh yeah, that makes sense, while police were securing perimeter and keeping EMS and fire personnel out of a building that was attacked, people were bleeding out. A high percentage of people were literally bleeding out. So, the new protocol is completely opposite of what it used to be. Now the EMS folks are going into what they call a warm zone and following personnel. I have to compliment to the highest degree our first responders and also our student actors. We had the members of the drama club were our students, and man, did they pour it on. I got to tell you, they started off and the kids were coached well, and they listened to the coaching. They went from just sort of moaning and groaning to screaming out, to literally shedding tears. I mean, it was intense. And with each time they run the scenario, and they were here for 4.5 hours. They got here around 12. They actually set up at 4 or 5 o'clock and left sometime after 9. I was still here at 9:20, and there were still a few folks cleaning up. So I can't emphasize enough how fortunate we are in this community to have the first responders that we have. First of all, it was a beautiful night. It was one of the first really beautiful nights we had in summer, and they're all here. And they were here for a long time, and someone mentioned to me that it was the third training that week that the fire personnel had. So we are blessed to have those folks who are willing to give that much time, much less come to an emergency and put themselves in harm's way. It really is, I think, too often underestimated. I know when a crisis happens, we're quick to say thank you, but there's a lot of weeks and months go by where or nothing big happens and they don't get thanked, yet they're still there doing their job. So I think it's worth noting. Chief Don Bowers did a great job organizing it. As I said, as the night progressed, it got more intense. And as a superintendent, my stomach started to sink, knowing that that was possible. And of course, we had what happened on Sunday. Ryan, I don't know why. I'll take a break from talking if you want to chime in. You got to see a lot of that too, and maybe sort of report from your perspective.
Yeah, certainly. I was glad I could make it. It was really an eye-opening event. You from the perspective of a consumer to witness something in the aftermath via the news and to hear stories of it is very surreal. But to watch the practice or rehearsal of responding to this type of event really hits home, and you start to think about the people you know in the building and the kids you know who attend here, and just sort of the steps that were taken that night. Really the first of its kind, that type of training inside of the school to understand how to prepare better for those scenarios. It's pretty amazing. Watching the groups, sort of stage themselves, and one group would come through and the other group would sort of stage themselves outside the building and figure out what their approach was going to be. And there was no right answer. There is no like perfect way to respond to these types of things. But sort of the maturity that developed throughout each rehearsal run, you could sort of sense like an understanding, but some brevity that was taking place. People were starting to get what was actually happening and the responsibility that they were carrying with them for each of those practice rounds. It was pretty incredible. And I think the one thing that really hit home for me the most was sort of through asking questions at various times throughout the night, sort of understanding how that mindset has changed. And, Dr. Hollister, you mentioned it, but, we got to see a PowerPoint presentation that most of the public probably would never get to see or care to see. But the two points that they emphasized the most was, they dated back to pre-Columbine, and the mentality used to always be stop the killing, stop the killing, stop the killing. And so what they would do is they'd show up, and everyone would park outside the building and wait for backup to show up. And inside, people were still being killed. And then they figured out, now we got to send in someone right away so we can stop the killing. Whoever gets there first goes in. But the new mentality, of course, and as the education training has evolved, is we can't just stop the killing, we also have to stop the dying. I mean, people have been injured inside. And that's where this response team method has come from, which is pretty incredible. And like Dr. Hollister mentioned, witnessing the mental preparedness that you have to go through for those first responders to be ready to walk into a building that potentially has an active shooter in it still, so that they can stop the dying, they can protect people who can be saved. It was pretty incredible. I was glad I could be part of it.
Thank you. Yeah. What surprised me was those three services all respond differently in a crisis. For example, one of the things they had to teach fire personnel was stay away from the walls. They're trained to stay close to the walls. That's their training. But in an active shooter situation, the police are trained to stay away from the walls. So it was an exchange of knowledge that way that was a part of the deal. As Brian said, it's the first in the county. We were the first ones to host one. The county coordinator asked me to make a note to my fellow superintendents. It's the first training of its type where all three service branches have come together. And it's important that they do that because they do communicate differently. Hand signals are different. The practice is different. So I feel better ready. Not that we're ever ready, but again, I have to say that if we do have a serious problem, we'll have a serious complement of help to it. So, thank you. The only other thing I have is some announcements. We do have an executive session planned for this evening. One of the items is a student-related matter. The second is a personnel matter, specifically the evaluation of the superintendent. So that's what the personnel matter will be. And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you, Dr. Hollister. Any other questions for the management committee? Any other announcements for the board? Okay. Hearing none. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. We are adjourned. Thanks to everyone for